kickoff live on...
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings right here on Giants.com. Joined by Lance Menno, I am John Schmelk, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. If you want to communicate with us that way, for the next 1 hour, talking Giants and NFL football. And Lance, I guess we'll start there with the NFL Combine. It's coming our way next week. Obviously, a lot of these teams know a lot about these players already based on what they've seen on game tape over the course of the year, but this is a way for a lot of these teams to confirm what they think they've seen on tape and whether or not these guys are exactly who they think they are.
Yeah, I still think it's a major piece of the puzzle, even though you're not necessarily seeing them in full game action and pads and so forth, because obviously the measurements are important. The agility, to me, the interview is a key component to the combine, to actually sit down with the players and get a little taste of what they are all about off the field more so than on the field. But at the same time, with that being said, I think every year when we get around this timetable and around this period, John, we tend to, you know, put so much stock and substance into these next 3 or 4 days, when you also can't lose sight of what the player did during the course of his collegiate career, his injury history, and a lot of other things that took place during the course of his career, even going back to high school, more so than, you know, what happens over the next 3 or 4 days, mainly because we've seen a mixture of products. We've seen players that have thrived at the combine and then all of a sudden haven't necessarily translated that to the NFL field, and then we've seen the complete opposite, quiet at the combine, and all of a sudden, you know, they become a surprise and they flash a little bit in the National Football League. That's why, you know, I always try to take a step back and say I want to put a lot into it, but at the same time, I think it's also one piece of many when you evaluate collegiate players.
Absolutely, and there are some teams out there, Lance, that do say, look, there are certain positions in the league where we want X physical characteristics from that spot. So if you're talking about offensive linemen, they might say, well, we don't want our offensive tackle to be under 6'5". We don't want our defensive tackle to be, you know, under 6'3 and under 300 pounds. We don't want our tight end to be under a certain weight. We don't want our linebackers to be a certain height. And some teams do have actual checklists where they say, you know what, we want our players to meet these specific physical characteristics, because when we run our defensive system or offensive system, whatever they're talking about, we want guys to fit this mold, because we think those guys with those physical characteristics play to their premium ability in our particular system. So in a lot of ways, the measurements, and you mentioned it before, the medical part of this is just as important as what these guys do in drills, because we know with the Giants the last few years how much health can have an impact on a team. But that being said, and Jerry's talked about that at his press conference earlier in the year, you draft a guy that never misses a game in college, he'll miss games in the pros. Vice versa, a guy's hurt in college, you draft him, he's fine. It's hard to really figure this stuff out in terms of it. But I think the combine really gives you that extra piece of data based on what you saw during the season in terms of evaluating these guys in terms of size, strength, and health. And it's especially important for the smaller school guys, because you wonder if, say, Noah Spence, he was at Ohio State, but he was at Eastern Kentucky this past year.
That's where he made a name for himself.
You know, how does his physical numbers in the, you know, in the shuttle drills and the 40-yard dash match up to guys at the bigger schools? Are they going to be overwhelmed physically when they get to the pros? I think for the smaller school guys, showing athletically they can match up with the big school guys, this could be pretty important.
Yeah, because you get everybody in one location as opposed to relying on their pro days and everything else. So I think that that certainly is valid. You know, you were bringing up the injury history of some players, and Miles Jack, who is considered one of the top linebackers out there from UCLA, he's not going to be able to take part in the majority of the drills at the combine because he's still overcoming that meniscus tear in the knee. I remember Todd Gurley last season, and Gurley, obviously, there were question marks about his health because of his knee injury, and then, you know, it turned out to be quite well for the St. Louis Rams, who are now obviously moving to Los Angeles.
No,
where
he did miss the first four games
he
of the
did,
year.
He did miss, well, I think it was the first two games,
first
if
two
I'm not
was?
Correct.
You
yeah.
might be right,
and then he did wind up, I think, missing one other game. But I guess the point is, once he returned, John,
he was okay.
He was fairly healthy, and I think that the Rams are not complaining from that perspective. So that's an example of somebody who didn't get to really take part in the combine. And maybe you'd be concerned, do we want to put much stock and substance in him? Do we want to reach out to grab a player like that? And knock on wood for the Rams, it worked out quite well. Miles Jack, some of these other linebackers, the top linebackers in particular in this year's class, John, are banged up, given the injuries that they suffered heading into the draft. So you wonder, you know, how much do you get out of the combine by simply talking to them, looking over their medical records, as opposed to seeing them go through the drills, especially if they're not ready for the pro day either?
Well, look, you mentioned Miles Jack, and you know, we'll see about his pro day, but I think a guy like that, you know the type of player he is off the tape. And you see what he did at the college level, and I think teams will probably be pretty confident what he can do at the NFL level. Now, they have to evaluate how much that knee is going to affect them.
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
Stuff,
and can you bounce back from an injury like
right.
that?
And so the other guy who had a much more serious injury at the end of the year is, of course, Jalen Smith. It would have been the first linebacker off the board, or at least he was predicted to be the first linebacker off the board before he tore his ACL. And I believe that was his only ligament. I don't think any of the other two ligaments were torn when he hurt that knee at the end of the season for Notre Dame. Now he's kind of dropped into that 10 to 15 area from what I've seen in a lot of the mock drafts. But that's another linebacker you talked about that, you know, isn't going to be able to really do anything at the combine. They'll be able to check, you know, give MRIs, check his healing progress, things like that. But he won't even be able to do a pro day. I mean, he tore his ACL back in
Fiesta Bowl. We're
January,
talking very recently.
Or end of December, whatever.
Correct.
So, you know, 4 months off of that, he's not going to be able to do a whole lot.
Jack's a different story. He got hurt in September. So
correct.
He had more recovery time.
And he obviously, you know, played through a lot of that, too. So, you know, that's going to be a situation now where you take a look at it and you're like, well, what can these guys give you? But, you know, I think for the most part, both guys won't get hurt too bad because of those injuries specifically. Now, we should talk, Lance, and a lot of people like to follow this stuff, and it's all, you know, hyperbole and, you know, anticipation and things like that at this point. But Mel Kiper did release his mock draft 2.0 this morning, and obviously Giant fans will be most excited about who he decided. Said the Giants are picking number 10, and the Giants have Mel Kiper, rather, as the Giants taking Noah Spence, the defensive end out of Eastern Kentucky, by way of Ohio State. He was, I guess for a lack of a better term, thrown out of school there for a variety of problems he was having there off the field. But obviously I know Giant fans are very excited about getting a pass rusher in here this offseason. And Noah Spence by many. And again, we'll see what he does at the combine and you know what other people think of him as we go along in the evaluation process. But people consider him one of the, if not the best, pure pass rushers in this draft class.
Well, it's funny because the guests we're going to have on a little bit later today, we should mention John Ledyard from USA Today, who is at the Senior Bowl and also covers the draft. He has Spence in his latest mock draft going 8th to the Miami Dolphins. So his stock is certainly rising as of late based on what they've seen and based on his resume and so forth. And then he also has the Giants taking a number 10, Miles Jack, which is another reason why I brought him up early in the program, the linebacker out of UCLA. Now, if I was correct, I thought that Kiper, in one of his earlier drafts, had Jack going to the Giants. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought in one of his earlier models, I know they update them about, you know, every other day, it seems.
Somebody had Ezekiel Elliott to the Giants at 10 in the
earlier model. I did see that, too.
I'm not sure if that was Kiper or not, to be honest.
Well, you know what? On our website, I think Dan Salamone put up a chart. And
sure.
He had everybody, at least who's considered one of the top experts in evaluating the draft and who they selected. I'm going to try to bring that up so that we can see where they have perhaps some of the players going. Here it is. This is the article. And by the way, you can check this out. It's off the front page on Giants.com. Let's see. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com had Noah Spence for the Giants pick. Mel Kiper did have Miles Jack in an earlier version. I know I thought I saw that. Then Todd McShay of ESPN, Sheldon Rankins, the defensive tackle out of Louisville. Rob Rang has Ezekiel Elliott, the running back out of Ohio State. He does work for CBSSports.com.
And you'll be hearing from him and Dane Brugler as well from the Combine next week. And Dane Brugler has Shaq Lawson, the defensive end from Clemson, going to the Giants.
So there's another pass rusher. Then Chris Burke of SI, Shaq Lawson. Then Chad Reuter of NFL.com, DeForest Buckner, the defensive end out of Oregon.
Big boy.
Then we go back to a linebacker, Jalen Smith, who we were talking about earlier, Lance Zierlin from NFL.com. Bucky Brooks. NFL.com has DeForest Buckner, so that's the second selection with Buckner, the defensive end out of Oregon.
So what do a lot of those have in common, Lance, besides Ezekiel Elliott?
Well, defensive players, I would say, is the big trend. And getting to the quarterback is the big trend.
Yes, I'd say.
Which is not a surprise, given what we talked about all throughout the season.
Absolutely not. By the way, if you guys want to talk about the draft, talk about the Giants, anything else, 201-939-4513. We can touch on free agency as well. Obviously, the period now for franchising players is in effect. We can talk about that. Anything in the offseason. We have some open lines if you want to get in. You won't have to hold on. 201-939-4513. And I think what I'm looking forward to you know, talking to John from USA Today when he joins us at 12:30 is you haven't really seen these boards shrink up yet. Where as you get closer to the draft, lands, you'll see a consensus form around, you know, three or four guys that, man, these guys are definitely going to be off the board when the Giants pick at 10. You know, last year, you knew Dante Fowler wasn't going to be there. You knew Leonard Williams wasn't going to be there. You know, guys like that, and you simply knew that they weren't going to be there when the Giants picked. And I think there are some guys you know now. I mean, I don't think, you know, big Laramie Tunsil from Ole Miss is going to be there. He's been predicted as a top
could be the number one pick even
in most of these drafts. You don't think Joey Bosa from Ohio State is going to be there. He seems to be the consensus one or two defensive end, depending on who you talk to. You don't get the feeling that Jalen Ramsey is going to be there, the safety slash corner out of Florida State. But other than those three guys, and, you know, you can throw in the quarterback too, whoever the Browns decide to pick at number two, whether it's Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, those are really only the four guys to me that there seems to be a consensus that they won't be available at 10. I've seen Miles Jack there at 10. I've seen him off. I've seen DeForest Buckner there at 10. I've seen him gone, according to Mel Kiper, as high as 3 to the San Diego Chargers. I've seen Lawson in the top 10. I've seen him out of the top 10. I've seen Jalen Smith go 8 or 9, a couple of these, even with the injury. I've seen him later on in the first round in a lot of these. So depending on what you look at, there's still a lot of guys in play right now if you're picking around where the Giants are picking at 10. And quite frankly, when you're in a situation like the Giants or your defense struggled a little bit last year, they seem to have a lot of options when it comes to guys in the front seven that could very well be available when they select the number 10. They're not going to be pigeonholed here where, well, if we want a defense end, we got to take this guy. If you want a linebacker, we got to take this guy. It seems like they're going to have some options.
I would agree with that. But the other trend that I've noticed, John, is if you look at the teams that are picking before the Giants and a lot of these projections, it's mostly defensive players that are going in the top 10. It's not just the Giants needing defensive players. I would say the majority of the teams up there are targeting defense.
Are they targeting defense, or are the best players in this draft just happen to be on defense?
Well, that's certainly another way to look at it. I think that the wide receivers are projected to go in the teens and the 20s from what I've been looking at in some of these mock drafts.
Laquon Treadwell seems to be the consensus number one guy. Early on in the process, I saw him as high as 8, 9, or 10, but more
now
recently
that's
around
changed.
15-ish.
It's altered. And I think that it's partially because of what you said, that maybe there are better stock and substance in the defensive players. But also, I think if you look at a lot of the teams near the top, I mean, they did struggle on the defensive side of the ball, too.
Well,
so that's
a
part of the reason why.
The top
of
10.
Course. Well, I mean, listen, you could have had offensive struggles, too, John,
true.
And you could have had a great defense, but you just couldn't score any points. The other curveball, and you alluded to this, is I've seen some project Cleveland's going to take a quarterback. But then Dallas could be a wild card if they determine they want to try to find Tony Romo's backup. So if two quarterbacks go before the Giants select, that helps their cause because then a defensive player could potentially fall.
Absolutely, and the Cowboys clearly, based off of last year, also in need of some help on the defensive side of the ball as well. I would be pretty shocked if the Browns didn't take a quarterback.
I'd be surprised, too, unless they do some wheeling and dealing. Who knows?
I could see Dallas not going quarterback. I could see them going defense for sure. I could see him picking a quarterback, too. But if the Browns don't pick a quarterback, I'd be pretty surprised. I think the first skill position, not including the quarterbacks now, the first skill position player off the board in this year's draft is probably going to be a running back. When's the last
really?
Time that happened? I think Ezekiel Elliott might be the first non-quarterback skill position player that gets picked.
I think maybe somebody will go for a wide receiver before potentially Elliott. I mean, we've seen the trend.
Well, yeah.
I can't believe a team would go even in the top 15 for a running back. That I just don't see the benefit
that
of
that. Would certainly buck the trend. It would. The trend. But remember, last year, Melvin Gordon went to the Chargers around 16 or 17, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And Gurley went, I think, around 12. Well,
Gurley went high, yeah. And I was surprised by the Gurley selection, given the fact that St. Louis, with all the young running backs that they've had, and number two is injury history.
The sense that
it
I'm
worked
getting,
out, but still, there was a big risk.
The sense that I'm getting here, Lance, is that contrary to what it's been like the last 2 years where you had two very, very deep and good receiver classes, I think you've hit a bit of a dip this year in terms of where the receiver class maybe for this particular season isn't as strong as it has been the last couple of years. 201-939-4513. You bring up the rounds for last year?
Well, I was trying to, see what exactly happened here last season.
Oh, you got
to just to see
where
Gurley the
picks
went.
Gurley went 10 and Gordon went 15. So you had two in the top 15 last year. Now, I think you had four wideouts in the top 15 as well. So there were a lot of players, obviously, from skill positions got picked. But
I
think
Cooper and White,
yes,
that went in the top 10.
I think, and I think Parker was probably around 15.
Parker went
right?
14. Yeah.
So I think that Elliott will be the first skill position player picked. That's not a quarterback this year. That's my prediction. All right, here we go. We got four callers. Let's get to you before we get to John Ledyard coming your way at 12:30. Let's start off with Greg in Virginia. He joins us first on Giants.com. Greg, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing all right, Greg. How
doing
are you?
Greg.
Good. Hey, I was watching some film this morning on Miles Jack. I didn't realize how good he was, man. He is incredible.
What film were you watching?
I was watching his every play of his BYU film and Washington film. Against BYU, they just lined him up in the slot, and he was shutting down wide receivers in coverage.
His Washington film must have been from last year, right?
Yeah. And
2014.
I was amazed at how fluid he was in coverage. Like, they tested him, too, and he was just shutting down wide receivers in the slot, in the coverage. And then on the Washington film, UVA. That's who it was, UVA this year.
Okay.
He was just his instincts. He was so fast. He could analyze whether it was a read or a pass, like in a split second, and he was the fastest player on the field.
Great,
but not even that. Like, he was when, like, linemen would get to the second level, he was knocking the crap out of them.
Yeah, you know, I think to me, Greg, that's what jumps out to me when I watch some of his stuff, and I'm going to watch a little bit more over the weekend. But he has all the speed, but then he likes to take on linemen. He doesn't let linemen come and engage him. He will come in and explode into them
and
really be physical. You're absolutely right.
And that's the difference, one of the biggest differences between him and the dude from Notre Dame.
Jalen Smith.
His name. Yeah, he likes to run around blockers, unless they're smaller than him. Then they'll hit him really hard.
Hey, Greg, out of curiosity, I always like to try to keep track of all this stuff. Where'd you find tape of every single play he had in those games, just out of curiosity?
It's funny because I was searching for YouTube stuff on Noah Spence.
Yeah.
And I came across this one guy. I don't work for him or anything, so I'm not plugging him. He's just some random guy who grades film. His name is Voc Lombardi, V-O-C-H, and then Lombardi, like the coach.
Okay.
And he just played, pretty much request a player, and he will find tape of him, and he'll just run through him and grade at play by play.
I imagine he has a YouTube channel pretty much.
Yeah, okay. He does.
Perfect.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can even ask if there's a play that you're interested in that you've heard of. He's really good about responding to comments. So it's like, hey, because I was high on Scooby Wright, and then I saw the film and the breakdown, and it turns out, like, I'm really not now. Like, I just, I got caught up in the highlight tapes and all that, but
yeah.
When I was watching his play-by-play, like, and that's when I realized just how good Miles Jack was and how much better he really was than the linebacker from Notre Dame. Because before that, I was like, oh, well, either one would be great. But Miles Jack, man, he is. it was really impressive. That's all.
Well, and after what we saw out of Luke Kuechly
this
postseason,
I
appreciate
the
phone call. Players who are versatile and can play the linebacker position, are going to be highly valued,
and
especially the ones that can go out and guard wide receivers.
And they seem to think he can play the middle in the pros. So That would be a spot that they think he should be able to play at the NFL level, from what I understand. Remember, he only played in three games this year, too. You mentioned that meniscus tear he suffered in September against, I guess it was in that BYU game. So he only played against Virginia, UNLV, and BYU. He missed pretty much their entire Pac-12 schedule. So, you know, take that for whatever you will. You probably have to go back and look at some stuff from his junior year. But, you know, you take a look at some of that stuff from those three games, and, you know, you see some of the things that he's capable of doing. And there's a reason a lot of people are predicting him to finish, you know, somewhere around that top 10. Shakes is in Baltimore. What's going on, Shakes? How are you, man?
Hey, what's going on? Y'all talking my language now. Linebackers, huh?
Well, here's the thing, Shakes. You got to hope Miles Jack is going to be there, if that's the guy you want. He might not be.
I'm actually on Team Jalen Smith. Now, I know the injury and everything, and that's a big question, but the boy got talent. But I wanted to ask you a question about these linebackers, especially on our roster right now.
Sure.
Now, y'all all know I do not like J.D. Thomas. But let's say this. So he's under contract. Kassir's under contract. Hersley's still under contract, right?
Yep, yeah.
Hersley under contract. Okay. And Kennard. So that's four linebackers under contract right now, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So... with some fans are saying re-sign Brinkley, which I'm on the notion of not re-signing Brinkley, and I'm gonna tell you why. We just named four guys that's already on contract. So if we sign a re-sign Brinkley, I don't think that we're going to go linebacker heavy in this offseason, which we need to. J.T. Thomas is maybe a good backup, special team. That's fine. But we need linebackers in here. Middle linebacker, outside linebacker, we need linebackers. So if we resign Brinkley, I don't feel like we might get one more linebacker, and that'd probably be in the fourth, fifth round.
Yeah, but,
and I'm not with that.
No, Shakes, I hear you, but I don't think you should worry about numbers at the position in March and April. You know, if you have, you know, seven, maybe even eight guys that you think have a chance to make the team in March and April, you can figure that out as you go along and in training camp. I mean, just because you re-sign a guy like Brinkley, you know, it's not going to be a huge multi-year guaranteed money contract. If you decide, you know, you draft a couple guys or you find somebody that you think is better, then you eventually, if you want, at the end of the cuts, you let them go. And you could do that for some of the other guys, too. It's not like there's, like, a ton of dead money hanging around a lot of these guys. So you can be flexible with the roster going forward. I wouldn't quite get wrapped up in the numbers game this early. I think if you see a good player out there, you go, you bring him in, you get him on the roster, and then you figure it out later.
I would say that, and that's how I would hope that they're thinking. But what I'm saying is, and I'm not getting mixed up with the numbers, it's just that with those guys already on board, I feel like they're not going to go in free agency and say, okay, let's go get a Trevathan, you know, because we already got linebackers here. We done signed two last year, which I think is not cool, but we signed two last year. We drafted one year before that, and I think, you know, with them re-signing Brinkley in this offseason, if they do that, then they're going to be like, well, that's the core. Now, we'll just add a little bit here and there, but that's
Shakes,
the core.
You also need to keep in mind, I mean, a guy like Jonathan Casillas is also a special teamer. So, you know, some of the linebackers and Herzlick, and they're not necessarily every down linebacker. So I still see flexibility and room for them to bring in as many linebackers as they want, simply because a lot of these guys are more special teams players than, you know, perhaps an every down single linebacker. Plus, the more guys, the more numbers, the more competition. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's the same thing with the defensive line. They had a lot of guys in camp last year. Not everybody's going to make the team. And nobody, even who you mentioned, coming in is necessarily guaranteed a roster spot, because we have yet to see what happens during the spring and during training camp.
Can I throw out two names before I go off air?
Yeah.
That I would like the Giants to pursue?
Go ahead.
One is a linebacker from Buffalo, Nigel Bradham. If you ain't never seen his game, go check him out. He's a beast.
Well,
and another guy, if we don't get one of those top guys like the guy from Denver, if he don't,
Danny,
you know,
Trevathan.
Denver resigns him. No, not Trevathan, the defensive tackle, I'm sorry.
Malik Jackson.
Malik Jackson, yeah, the other guy.
Malik Jackson, yes. If they resign him, I'm thinking like in the defensive tackle-wise, because I think that's where we need to address, I'm also looking at a kid named Tyron Walker from Detroit Lions. The boy, he young, and he clogs up the hole. So those two guys, check out the film on them. They nice, man. And thanks for taking my call, y'all. It's good to hear from y'all.
Hey, it's good to hear from you, Shakes. We're always here. We just miss you. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right, let's do one more call before we get John on from USA Today. Let's go to Rodney up in Boston. Rodney, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing great, Rodney.
Doing
how are you?
I listen to the show all the time, and I'm a first-time caller.
Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening, pal.
Jay and Lance, I wanted to talk to you guys about a couple of draft picks I think personally that we should get.
Bring it.
I was listening to the other caller talking about Miles and the ND linebacker, Jalen. Me personally, I'd take Jalen Smith over him all day. And I understand he's hurt, but me personally, after what I've seen with Gurley, I think that Jalen is that good of a talent, and I'll wait till he gets healthy to come play. That's me personally. I see a can't miss with Jalen Smith personally.
Okay, that's fair.
And I think for the tackle, the defensive tackle position, I don't know if you heard of the guy from Ole Miss, Robert Kay. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. That's why I call him Robert Kay. It's like Kimichi or something like that. He's number five on Ole Miss.
You mean Robert Mdichi?
Mdichi, is that what it is?
I think so, yes. I'd have to double check it, but I'm pretty sure that's the case, yes.
Yes, number five from Ole Miss. That guy, Jay, I'm telling you, can't miss.
I haven't done a ton of work on Mdichi yet. From what I understand, from what I've read about him, again, I haven't done my work on him yet. I'm going to start doing some Ole Miss stuff next couple of weeks. He is physically everything you want out of a guy that plays that position. I think he's around 6'5". I think he's around 300 pounds. I mean, he is a large fellow. But his production and consistency in college isn't what you're looking for necessarily.
And I knew that you was going to say that. That's the flaw that when I was reading. Because I think I'm a scout sometimes, too. So I do my research and I read, and that's what I saw. But me, I don't believe in that production in college because me personally, he produced the game you want him to produce. If you look at his Alabama film, that's the film that all the scouts are talking about. If you look at his Alabama film, the game that really matters went off, destroyed them boys. And you know Alabama is the closest thing to the NFL you'll get, Alabama and LSU.
Well, but there's talent all across the college landscape. I mean, I get your point, but I think consistency is important, that a guy produces and brings his A game each and every week as opposed to just one game in particular on the schedule.
No, no, no.
And in fairness, I mean, it's not as if every Alabama player, regardless of whether that team is considered as close to the NFL team as possible, it's not as if every Alabama player has panned out to become a game-changing NFL player. So that's more of a reason why I think you got to take the complete package into consideration as opposed to just hone in on one game.
And I think in the NFL level, I think Mdichi is going to be a tackle. He's not going to be an end. So I don't think he's going to be that big speed edge rusher you're looking for either.
Oh, no. That's what I'm looking for, the tackle, to play next to Jonathan Hankins.
Jonathan Hankins.
Yes, and I think he would fit in that three technique type of role. We got to run, Rodney. Thanks for the call, man.
Oh, Dan, please.
No, real
look
quick.
Up Stuart Cravens, please.
Who?
Stuart Cravens, USC. Nobody's talking about him, but I think he's a top five talent. That's all I got to say. Thanks.
I'll take a look at him.
All right, Rodney.
No problem. Appreciate the call. 201-939-4513. Now we go to our guest line. And we're joined by our good friend John Ledyard from USA Today. He covers the draft for them as well as a bunch of other folks. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow with you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Thank you guys for having me on so much. Looking forward to talking some NFL draft from a Giants perspective.
Yeah, let's do it. And I guess let's start here. And I guess I'll start this way so we don't cover too many names that are unrealistic. If you can give me three, four, or five, if you want to be brave, names that you think will definitely be off the board when the Giants pick at 10, who would those three to five players be? And then we won't waste our time on them.
I think there's some talk Giants would look at offensive tackle, but I think Laremy Tunsil's definitely off the board at that point. I think Joey Bosa is probably off the board at that point. I do think he'll fall a little bit, but probably not that far. I think Noah Spence is probably off the board at that point. Honestly, the way the rest of the draft looks, Jalen Ramsey's going to be off the board. After that, I would say, after those four, I would honestly say that anybody could potentially rise or fall. Still so early in the process. The combine obviously still to come too, but I think that other than those four guys, there's a decent chance that a bunch of other prospects fall to the Giants. And even Noah Spence, if something were to happen where his off-field issues remain a concern after the combine, potential that he's there. So there's a lot of flexibility in the top 10 right now. So to be sitting at number 10, I think, is a pretty nice spot for New York.
Yeah, I want to narrow in real quickly on Noah Spence, because I know a lot of other people don't have him rated quite as highly as you do, John. Obviously a great pass rusher at Ohio State, basically got kicked out of school, went to Eastern Kentucky. Give me a little thumbnail on him, on and off the field, on why you think he will be off the board when the Giants pick at 10.
Yeah, good question. On the field, I'll touch on really quickly. If you've watched him play, you can see his skill set's pretty apparent. He's very twitched up, edge guy who can play from a two-point stance, standing up on the edge or with his hand down. He's got good size for the position, not great length, but he uses power pretty effectively. He's more violent, I think, than some of the pass rushers we watched last year, more physical than some of the pass rushers we watched last year, despite maybe some similar physical attributes. I love the fact that he can bend the edge and win the edge consistently with speed rushes, but that he isn't afraid, and I think he showed this at the Senior Bowl, to counter back inside and to keep offensive linemen on their toes, keep them guessing as to what maneuver he's going to use to get to the quarterback. So he's extremely effective as a pass rusher because of his ability to vary up his rushes, which I thought grew at Eastern Kentucky, actually, whereas at Ohio State he was more of just a pure speed rusher. So good to see him challenge himself in that way. Off the field, I think it's been well documented that he's had issues, obviously, in the past. But I think that he's really worked hard to overcome those and to mature as a player and as a person. He's actually mandated drug tests for himself that he doesn't need to have. He's at this point past the things that the tests that he needed to, and he's mandated drug tests to continue to occur for him at random when he doesn't know they're going to come.
Wow.
Just to prove to people that that's what his situation is and to hold himself accountable as a person. So he's very passionate about his growth, very passionate about showing people that he's changed. I think he tweeted out not that long ago that he watched his team win a national championship without him, and the fire that that lit inside of him will never die. And when I watched him at the Senior Bowl, that's exactly what he looked like. I mean, he was relentless on every single rep, one-on-ones, getting in guys' faces, chippy, edgy, physical. He actually tackled a Jaguars coach. That's how wound up he was on the first day of practice. He tackled a coach during one of the drills. He was standing in at quarterback. So in terms of his mental makeup, I think there's so many attributes you want to see in a defender, which is why I think he could finish out on my big board if the off-the-field stuff remains not a concern and his interview process goes well. I think he could finish out as a top five guy on my board.
Wow.
John, looking at your mock draft and a lot of mock drafts in general, it seems as if the trend right now, a lot of defensive players are projected to go in the top 15 more so than maybe a run on offensive players. And, you know, one of the things you wrote about in the 10th spot where the Giants are going to select, it's hard to get a good read on the Giants because they really could go offense or defense considering they have a number of needs. When you look at the top 15 picks at least, where in your mind are you getting more value within this draft class? Is it on the defensive side or is it on the offensive side this season?
Well, it's a good question because the defensive side has more depth than the offensive side, I think, in a lot of ways, especially along maybe the offensive line and even it, to some degree, depending on who's there, quarterback, but obviously the Giants aren't concerned there. But so I think that there it depends on the position a little bit, but on the side of the ball, I'd say that the defense will tend to be, I think, pretty dominantly selected from over the top 15 picks. I think the Giants will look there. There's like you said, there's a lot of needs for the Giants right now. They have to figure out what's going on with Victor Cruz, what's going on with Reuben Randall. I would assume Eric Flowers is still their guy at left tackle. He made progress. There are ups and downs, obviously, but you know, you spend a top 10 pick on a guy, you're going to give him more than one season to play at the position. So, but then you have some offensive linemen they're parting ways with Jeff Schwartz and William Beatty and all these guys. So you have to, there's a lot for them to figure out. I think more, as much as any other team in the NFL, the Giants offseason is really pretty up in the air. I mean, new head coach, you don't really know what they're going to do draft-wise. It's very hard to get a read on them when you're creating mock drafts and things like that because there's so many needs right now for the team and so many different areas they could attack. But I do think the defensive side of the ball right now suggests a little bit better value probably at the number 10 spot. But, again, it will depend a little bit who's on the board.
All right, John, we talked about a couple of the defensive ends already in Bosa and then Spence. From what I can tell and from the work that I've done, it seems as though DeForest Buckner and Shaq Lawson seem to be the next two consensus defensive ends on the board. A, do you agree with that evaluation? Is there someone else you have in that group? And can you parse for me the differences between those two players in terms of where you had them ranked on your big board?
Yeah, good question. I think that there's differences between those two players just in the way that I would group them. I would group Shaq Lawson with edge rushers, which would be 4-3 defensive ends and 3-4 outside linebackers, because he's mostly going to give you that rush off the edge, can move out to a wider technique, whereas DeForest Buckner is going to probably play either inside. There's some talk that he could potentially play inside for teams. I'm not sure that I see that, but I see him as a 5 technique and more of 3-4 front.
Okay.
He could potentially kick out and play in some 4-3 fronts, but I think mostly you're going to see DeForest Buckner get a lot of interest from odd front teams. So that said, I think Shaq Lawson probably is a better fit for the Giants. For a couple reasons. Number one, I think he's a Giants player. If you look at his physical makeup and the makeup of a lot of players that they have on their team, even Odigizuwa, who they drafted last year, Robert Ayers, they're in the same physical mold. Very well built, strong, sturdy guys with not maybe the length that maybe a team like the Bengals look for in their 4-3 defensive ends, but enough length to be able to set the edge, get after the passer. And they like to find defenders who are you have a variety of skills, can defend the run as well as they can rush the passer. And I think Pierre Paul is a great example of that. They've obviously got to find pass rush. That's going to be a priority this offseason. Odigizuwa hopefully is a big part of that. So if they think that if they're high on his progress moving forward, and obviously they've got free agency situations with Robert Ayers and Jason Pierre Paul and Colin Jenkins and other guys on their defensive line, but that's going to kind of determine what the direction they go with those guys would determine, I think, whether they look at a guy like Shaq Lawson as a 10 spot. I think he's a perfect fit there. He is exactly what they look for on the defensive side of the ball and at the defensive end position and would fit really nicely into their scheme. But it's going to kind of depend on their need there as well, I think.
Talking with John Ledyard, who covers the draft for USA Today. He was also at the Senior Bowl. You just went over some of the pass rushers. And, John, I remember last season we spent weeks upon weeks talking about what everybody was labeling these tweeners. Are they a good fit for a 3-4? Are they a good fit for a 4-3? The Vic Beasleys, the Dante Fowlers, the Bud Duprees, and so forth. From what you just described with the Shaq Lawsons of the world and so forth, is it fair to summarize the group of pass rushers in this year's crop much more so defined than maybe what last year's group had to offer? And what I mean by that, they fit more into a 4-3 versus a 3-4 as opposed to the lines being blurred compared to what we saw in last year's group.
Absolutely. I think it's a great observation because I think that there's very clear-cut fits for guys this year. And the only guy who can wiggle, I think, between the two fronts of the top prospects is Noah Spence in my mind, and which that will add to his value because they'll have more defensive fronts, more schemes looking at him to fit into their onto their team. So, but I think, yeah, Joey Bosa, I mean, some teams may flirt with him as a 5 technique in a 3-4 front, but because he has that length and strength to 2 gap if he needs to. But honestly, I think he's definitely a 4-3 defensive end in his primary position. Shaq Lawson's a 4-3 defensive end. Kevin Dodd's a 4-3 defensive end. And then Noah Spence is going to be that guy that offers a little bit of flexibility. Once you get into the later rounds, maybe there's a little more in the mid and late rounds. There's a little more flexibility with some guys, guys like Leonard Floyd. Can he play on the edge? Is he going to be an off-ball linebacker? You know, even some of that with Jordan Jenkins. So even some of that with Kyler Fackrell. So then there's some more fluidity, but more of the linebacker or edge rather than is he a 3-4 stand-up edge or a 4-3 with his hand down edge. So, yeah, I think at the top of the draft it's pretty cut and dry among those top guys, or at least it should be.
Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. John Ledyard, USA Today, with us for a couple more minutes. John, I want to talk a little bit about the linebackers here because I think, really, we have a chance for the first time in probably more than 10 years. You might have two linebackers going in the top 10, and that's with both players having fairly serious knee injuries. First part of this question, what are you hearing about the health of both Jalen Smith and Miles Jack? And then the second part, if you put the health questions aside, and you just look at the two guys as players, compare and contrast them for me. Who do you like more and why?
Right now, I think that Miles Jack is going to be at the combine, but he won't be a full participant. We're not sure what extent yet, but I think that news came out in the last day or two. And he looks good. His workouts look good. There's only been positive reports about his health and the direction it's moving, so that's a great sign. Torn meniscus can be serious. There are, all of these knee injuries vary depending on the tear and where it is and how severe. But I think that he'll be able to bounce back pretty nicely from that, and he should be ready to go. There's been no reports that would indicate he wouldn't be ready to go in time for training camp, at least to be a limited participant. Jalen Smith's situation is probably a little more up in the air. His damage to his knee was reportedly more significant, but Matt Miller from Bleacher Report reporting not that long ago that he could be ready for week one of the season as well. So if that's the case, and his medicals will be even bigger, I think, at the combine, than Jack's, then I think he could jump back into that top 10 conversation, that top 15 conversation. It's really just going to depend on the team with those guys in terms of their injuries right now and each team's individual evaluation of where they're at health-wise. In terms of on-the-field ability, I like Miles Jack more. I think that, but I love Jalen Smith too, but I like Miles Jack more because I think he is a little more violent and physical at the point of attack, and I think that he gives the defense more versatility. So you can use Miles Jack in a variety of ways and be successful. You can put him, I genuinely believe you can still put him in the slot against receivers. He's that kind of an athlete.
Wow.
I'm not sure that I've scouted an athlete like Miles Jack at the linebacker position. I mean, he has the fluidity where you could put him at outside corner, and I'm not sure I would bat an eye, honestly. I think his build is going to be fine. People talk about, oh, he's undersized, but, the dude is rocked up. I mean, he may not be as big as some linebackers, but we say we want linebackers with speed and size, but the reality is that Miles Jack's build is about the closest thing to happy medium you're going to find between those two things in today's NFL. Jalen Smith offers a lot of the same thing. I don't think he's necessarily as instinctive as Miles Jack is, but a big guy with range who can absolutely move. Not quite the same short area quickness that Miles Jack brings, but going to be very good in coverage as well, which I think gives a ton of value in today's NFL. And both guys, I think, can fit for the Giants and who will be guys that they look at if they're there at number 10. And they should right now with their linebacker situation. They've needed kind of a game-changing playmaker at their linebacker spots. And I think both Jalen Smith can play any of the linebacker positions you need him to. And Miles Jack, probably best where you can get him more in space, but I think he can play the Sam if you need him to. He could probably even play the Mike if you need him to. So both guys give a defense a ton of versatility, and if they're healthy, they're easily top 10 players in this year's draft.
John, as you touched on and we've discussed, the Giants can go in a variety of different positions on the defensive side. You went over the pass rushers, you just covered linebackers, and you have the Giants taking Miles Jack at number 10 right now. The other position is cornerback. Prince Amukamara is a free agent. His status is up in the air, as well as what the depth chart looks like for the Giants. I believe the earliest you have a corner going based on the mock draft that I saw you did was 18, Vernon Hargreaves out of Florida. Assess the cornerback situation for me entering this draft. Is there a lot of value? Is it more of a late round type of position that you think is going to go?
Yeah, I think that it is a balanced group, but not necessarily top heavy. I mean, Vernon Hargreaves is very refined from a mechanical perspective. But I don't think I see him as a guy with his size, and perhaps we'll see at the combine speed limitations that a ton of teams will covet as this top 10 pick that was maybe rumored about during the 2015 season. I like Mackenzie Alexander a lot. There's some discipline issues perhaps with him in terms of his on-the-field play. But I think that at the same time, he gives the defense a ton of things, and he gives them that edge and that personality the teams will look for in corners. But I don't know that I see both. I think both guys will be a little undersized, and not to the point where I'd be concerned. But NFL teams with their tendency to move toward bigger corners, I don't know that they'll value them in the top 15 like it was rumored about maybe earlier on in the draft process. So the combine should reveal a lot. But a guy I think I could see the Giants falling in love with, and maybe not at 10, but I wouldn't necessarily rule it out if he has a great combine, is William Jackson from Houston. I think that he has the length. He has incredible movement skills and fluidity for a cornerback that is that tall and that long. He fits what the Giants look for in their cornerbacks. They like that length. They like guys who are also can play very physical and nasty, and he gives you that. Really good ball skills, really good click and close ability, and ability to diagnose routes quickly. And I think he'll make a smooth transition to the NFL despite coming from Houston. So I think he's a guy the Giants could look for. And I think if he runs well at the combine, his stock's going to skyrocket simply because of what you said. There really isn't a premier corner in this year's draft. And with some concerns lingering about Hargraves and his size, how it'll move to the NFL, and Alexander and his positional discipline, I think that there's a window open there for a cornerback like William Jackson to move up into the first round. And, you know, the Giants reached for a guy like Ereck Flowers that a lot of people had in the second round last year. So they're definitely not afraid to pull the high-risk move to fill a need. So if that's what they feel like is the best player on their board, I think he fits their system really well and has really good upside.
John, obviously it's very early to do this, and it's probably going to be folly, but I'm going to do it anyway. let's try to project out to the early second round here when the Giants pick, I guess it'll be around 41st overall in round number two. Without targeting specific players necessarily, where do you see there to be good depth in this draft in terms of position groups, things like that, where the Giants might be able to find some good value with their first pick in the second round at round 40?
It's a good question. I think defensive line is the deepest group, but not necessarily at the edge position. So we talked about the edge rushers, and if the Giants want one, a pure pass rusher to start early on in their 4-3 defense, I think they've really got to consider that position in the first round, because I'm just not sure there's going to be many guys that really fit there that are going to be able to rush the passer early on in their careers and be productive in the second round. So I think they look at interior defensive line maybe in the second round. There could be some needs there for a guy to play next to Jonathan Hankins. And right now they've got situations with Marcus Kuhn and Barry Cofield where they're both free agents. The Giants have a ton of free agents, which makes this a little more difficult. I also think that the linebacker position, if they do go edge rusher or maybe they think about a guy, I mean, can you imagine a guy like Laquon Treadwell playing with Odell Beckham? If they consider him, if he falls to number 10, then I think they could look at linebacker in the second round potentially as well, if there's no defensive ends there that they like. So I think there's a number of different ways they could look. I think linebacker and defensive line are probably two of the deeper positions in the draft and represent a bunch of guys who could potentially fit with the Giants. But cornerback's another one. I mean, there's going to be some guys in the second and third rounds that pretty much have really similar value in my mind, that you're not losing too much in terms of the balance of that class or along the draft second day. So I think that they'll look at some options there. But like I said, the Giants have a lot of needs right now, and if offensive line is the need that it continues to be, that's another one they could look at in the draft second day. And I don't think there's a lot of depth on the offensive line. So if someone were to slide, maybe someone who slides into the second day like Cody Whitehair or Josh Garnett from Stanford, they've got to look at addressing offensive guard and getting one of those guys to try and play, I think, and potentially start early on in their offensive line. So I think they will have their eye out for that, but they're more likely to use maybe mid-round picks on the offensive line unless there's somebody that falls in the draft.
Especially since they just parted ways with Schwartz and Beattie, as you mentioned earlier. Quarterback is not a position, John, that you would think the Giants are going to be interested in, considering they just locked up Eli Manning. But quarterback could very well impact who's available at number 10 when the Giants selected the first round. Give me an idea of how you rank these quarterbacks where you think potentially a few could go before the Giants selected 10, and I guess that maybe could mean good news for them because then maybe some of the defensive players are going to fall to them.
Right. I think the Giants are absolutely rooting for teams like San Francisco to want a quarterback in the top 10 because it'll mean one more player who's probably available to them. So I think you've got Cleveland definitely looking at a quarterback, Dallas potentially looking at a quarterback, and then throughout the rest of the top 10, it's a little more up in the air. I don't think that – I think Cleveland will make their quarterback decision largely based off of what Hugh Jackson believes is going to be best for their squad. I see Jared Goff as their best fit right now there, and I think that Dallas will be pretty interested in Carson Wentz if he's available there. So there's a number of different potential scenarios, I think. San Francisco is kind of the wild card of the group. You know, would they consider taking a quarterback or will they stick with Colin Kaepernick? At first it looked like they'd move on from Kaepernick. Now it seems like they could stick with him. So the rest of the teams in the top 10, I think, appear pretty content at quarterback right now. Those are the three that you'd consider. There was some whispers about the Chargers potentially be interested in taking a guy long-term to be able to develop behind Phillip Rivers, but I just can't see it happening. So I think if you're the Giants, you're cheering for Dallas to take a quarterback instead of Miles Jack or instead of Laquon Treadwell or instead of Joey Bosa or Noah Spence or whoever might be there available for them, you're cheering for Dallas to take a quarterback so that one of those edge rushers or a receiver or a linebacker, even potentially an offensive lineman, falls to the Giants at number 10, so you can have your full wealth of kind of options at that position.
John, a follow-up in terms of the quarterback position. Once again, it doesn't necessarily impact the Giants, but, you know, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, when you go back to last year's group, there was questions about could Mariota translate what he ran in college to the NFL. Winston was maybe more of the pro-ready type of quarterback. If these two or three teams do want to select a quarterback, in your mind, are you getting good value by grabbing one of these players, or is this group overall maybe a little too overrated at this point?
No, I've written at length, actually, that I think the group is, I'm not sure if I'd say overrated, because, but I just think that there's no top 10 value in this class at quarterback. And I think as evaluators, that in a vacuum, looking at each prospect in a vacuum, we've got to see that and we've got to evaluate that properly with the knowledge that NFL teams are not going to care about that per se. You know, Cleveland needs a quarterback. They've got to take one in this year's draft. And really, they've got to take the best available guy on the board at number two, even though Jared Goff's value for me is probably somewhere between picks 30 to 40. But I'm not an NFL team. I'm an individual evaluator. So for me, in a vacuum, Jared Goff doesn't hold that kind of value. But for Cleveland, given their situation, he's going to hold more value for that team, given their current roster structure and the development and direction that Hugh Jackson wants to take the offensive side of the ball. So to them, he's going to be worth reaching for, I think, or any quarterback prospect that fits is going to be worth reaching for, simply because in today's NFL, you've got to have one, and they don't right now. So I think that each team will have to weigh that. I would look at Dallas's perspective and say, I wouldn't reach for a quarterback at four if I'm Dallas. I wouldn't try and take a guy. To me, all these quarterbacks are, Paxton Lynch is one spot ahead of Jared Goff, I think, right now, and maybe my 29th overall player or something like that with a second round grade. So to me, all these quarterbacks carry second round grades, these top three that we're talking about here. But I think that, so I think a team like Dallas, who would be reaching for a developmental guy, is better off just waiting, I think, at this point until the later rounds. But for some of these teams, if you got to have one like Cleveland, you've got to reach for one. It's just the reality. It's kind of where bad drafting and bad roster management over the years has put them in a position where they don't really have the option to select best player available. They've got to address the position of need. So in some ways it's a negative for them, but if Hugh Jackson is the guy at head coach, he can turn it into a pretty big positive.
John Ledyard, USA Today. John, I have two or three rapid fire for you. Give me 5-second answers if you can. If you have to rank Laquon Treadwell with last year's wide receivers, I'm talking about the first three taken, Devontae Parker, Kevin White, and Sammy Watkins. Where does Amari Cooper. Where does he rank with those three guys?
It's a good question. I think I would have him actually number one among that group. I love all three of those guys. They were all top eight guys for me, but I think I'd have him number one.
Wow, you've been ranked ahead of Amari Cooper. Oh, wow, that's pretty unbelievable. The first safety in this draft will get picked when?
If you consider Jalen Ramsey a safety, he'll definitely go in the top five. I don't think there's any way he falls out of it. If you don't, Darian Thompson from Boise State's probably a guy who's at least a top 20 pick, potentially could rise to a top 15 pick.
Best linebacker class since when?
Oh, man. Definitely in recent years. I don't know that I could think of a draft class that's offered this much positional flexibility and athleticism early on in the draft. Yeah, you lose a lot in terms of run defense either. It's perfect for today's modern NFL. It's a great fit.
Final one, the first tight end in this draft will be picked when?
I'm going to go off on a limb here, and I'm going to say Tyler Higbee from Western Kentucky is my number one tight end. I think he'll go off the board in the second round. He has the athleticism and flexibility the teams are looking for, and if his health checks out at the combine, I think he'll be the first tight end off the board.
John, great stuff. Enjoy watching the combine. We'll catch up with you afterwards. We'll see what you think about what you saw, and then we'll talk to you as we approach the draft. We appreciate the time today. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, John.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Great stuff. Great information. Invaluable stuff from John Ledyard right there from USA Today with the Combine coming your way next week. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick up your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com. Enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings. Fantasy sports, free to play. Great information there, and I think you see this class a little bit different with the way that, you know, the quality of the players are ranked out as you move along. All right, we're going to go a little bit long today, folks. I'll do my best. I want to get all three of you callers that have been holding in before we say goodbye, but we got to close shortly after 1 o'clock. So I need you guys to keep it to 90 seconds or 2 minutes at most. Let's start with Christian in New York. He's been on hold the longest. Christian, thanks for holding on. What do you got for me?
Hey, guys. I'm just hoping that we can really re-sign Robert Ayers this offseason, just also hoping that we don't end up in a situation where you'd have to overpay him. Mm-hmm. But another thing I want to see is I want to see us get a solution at free safety through free agency, someone that's already experienced. And I really like Landon Collins, but I really want him paired up with somebody that already knows the ins and outs of playing the safety position.
Well, that's why a veteran, to me, I think would make sense. As you just laid out, Christian, you'd have that veteran to complement, you know, a younger guy, Landon Collins, who I think showed one of his main strengths is getting down and dirty in the box where he can tackle and put pressure on the quarterback. You know, Eric Weddle, Eric Berry, those are two veteran free agents that are at least scheduled to hit the market, but time will tell depending on what the market dictates. I know, you know, Kansas City's probably going to do everything they can to keep Eric Berry. Weddle, it appears on the surface, he's ready to part ways with San Diego.
Yeah,
but
they had some issues at the end of last
correct.
Year.
Correct. But what type of interest does Weddle get elsewhere? Correct. I mean, right absolutely. Now, we don't know. I mean, is he going to be now? If Eric Berry stays with Kansas City, Christian, would Weddle be the number one veteran on the market?
That's a good question. I don't know how. I mean, a lot of people like the Kayshon Gibson kid out of
from
Cleveland.
Yeah, that would be another one I'd put up there.
And those guys are in their mid-20s. Weddle's over 30, so you take that in consideration as well. And, Christian, remember, I think you made a good point, too. You have a lot of other young safeties on this roster already, too, behind Landon Collins. You know, you got the Cooper Taylors, you got the Nat Burhays, you got the Michael Thompsons. Now, we don't know what those guys can do. They haven't shown it yet, but they're there. So I think a veteran would be important to bring in somewhere along the way. What's your final point, Christian?
Another thing is I hope that we bring back Jasper Brinkley, not as a solution, but just as security. I mean, I hope that we get him and then say, worst case scenario, he's our middle linebacker next year.
Well, he did a nice job in place of John Beeson and filled
for call,
in
Christian.
For a number of injuries. Appreciate the phone call. Bennett Jackson, by the way, is another young safety I would throw out there,
great
too.
Great point. I forgot about him.
He just popped into my head. We tend to overlook him because he got hurt last season, but he's another young option. I agree, though, Christian. Jasper Brinkley, as I mentioned, I think did a really nice job filling in. And, you know, he made some game-changing plays. It's one thing for a guy to fill in, make the tackles, and, you know, he leads the team in tackles. There's a number of games where he knocked the ball loose, forced a fumble, recovered a fumble. Those are the types of things you like to see out of your linebacker group. What type of market presents itself for him, that remains to be seen. He's been around the league. He's been with the Cowboys. He's been with the Vikings. But, you know, if the Giants feel they want some depth, I think he's a guy that fit quite well into the system.
And he's very good on first and second down against the run. He's very good in that respect. And if you want to, you know, take him out in sub-packages, what the Giants did do in some circumstances last year, when, you know, you're in clear passing situations, that's something you can do.
And that's fine.
But still take advantage
you
of his
still need,
ability.
As you mentioned, John, you still need that guy to plug the holes on first and second down.
Charlie in Portland, Maine, when he tweeted me earlier today and asked me if I was hosting today, I assumed that meant I was going to hear from him. Charlie, how are you?
Well, thank goodness he didn't
hey,
tweet
John.
Me,
hey,
so that's
man.
Good news.
Hey, I have to disagree with everything one of your good callers said. John, I think he was from ESPN or somewhere. I'm just kidding. No, he had a lot of good information. But
you're an idiot.
Oh, boy. Boy, are we stretching the material today, Charlie? I haven't spoken to you in a while. Looking, digging real deep here, I can tell.
Look, this whole draft depends on one thing, what we do in free agency.
Yep, absolutely.
But if we don't fill the holes correctly in free agency, then we're going to be grasping for straws and reaching for whatever.
Well, Charlie, you know what? And I'll interrupt you real quick. And I think you're right. And you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you have to fill a need in the draft, because that's, I think, when you get yourself into trouble. You want to be able to just pick the best guy because you're comfortable in most of your spots. You know what I mean? So I think you're exactly right. That's why you have free agency. You don't want to have to go into the draft and say, well, I have to get a really good player at this position, because then you start reaching and then you get into trouble.
Exactly, and that's why we have to fill the holes in free agency with vet players that can really help us. And the other thing is like, I mean, I know, like, you know, we're all talking, like, who's going to be at number 10, who's going to be at number 10, who's going to be at number 10. But if you take care of free agency and sign the players that you want to keep that we already have, then you can go in the draft just saying, I want the best player available. And if that guy's going to drop at 8 or he's going to drop at 7, we can move up and grab him because we've got the holes filled and we can really go after the guy we really want. And even if that we lose one, or, you know, another draft picks because of that, you know, JR has been striking out of 3 out of 6 draft picks anyway. So give him number 4, give him number 5, and get the guy you want, or number 3, and get the guy you want. You got to be aggressive. And so to me, like I said, free agency is the key, and we got to do that right. And if we do that right, we'll be fine. You know, right now we just got a wide receiver from France. And I just heard a rumor that we're going to go after some offensive linemen. Somi Wrestle is out of Japan. So, we'll have these big guys.
You know, Charlie, I can't even tell whether or not you're being serious anymore.
Are you serious?
No, he was definitely being sarcastic. I know he was. Come on. You can tell.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a little chuckle inside.
Charlie, we're out of time. I don't have time for this.
Next thing, we're looking for a running back in the middle of,
You're killing me.
Oh, man. I can, immediately, when he started with the countries, you knew he was going to go somewhere. I mean, I was reading it all over him.
All right, Derek in Atlanta. You got 60 seconds, Derek. I won't interrupt you. Say your piece, and then we got to run. Go ahead.
All right, Lance, John, how's it going?
Doing well.
But there's a couple things. You can comment on both of them. What is the possibility that because of the landscape of the cornerback situation – that we might have to put a franchise tag on Prince Amukamara?
I don't think you're going to have to put a franchise tag because, I mean, I think the corner franchise tag is like, what, $13.5 million, something like that. I don't think you'll get to that point because I don't think his yearly per year average salary is going to be more than that. So I don't think you're going to have to get to that point, to be honest with you, Derek. I really don't.
Do you think we can retain him?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're willing to spend the bucks, you can. Sure.
Do you think we're going to be pushed into retaining him based on there's really not much talent in the draft and there's really not much talent in free agency and everybody's looking for a corner?
I want to see what the market looks like when free agency starts. I don't have a good feel for it yet. Let me see who gets re-signed between now and then, who gets franchised, and then I'll have a better answer for you.
Yeah, I think a lot has to do with the market, Derek, for Prince in particular.
Yeah.
I mean, if the market presents good value, you know, maybe that makes it even more attractive. But until we see a player hit the market, you don't know who's in demand, who really wants to go above and beyond and spend for a corner. I think it's very early to tell at this point.
All right, pick one of these players, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah.
We got one of these guys we can sign, any one of these guys. Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu, or what's his name, Travis Benjamin.
From the Cleveland Browns.
I like Marvin Jones myself. If I had to pick one of those three, I would select Marvin Jones. I like his ability to stretch the field. And Derek, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I like his ability to stretch the field and make big plays down the field.
Jones has a little bit of an injury history compared to Mohamed Sanu. Sanu's intriguing because Sanu, I could see him fitting into McAdoo's system perhaps in terms of them using him in a variety of different ways like Cincinnati has.
More of a possession type of receiver.
Correct, but you also can run him on the end of rounds out of the backfield because he's got that speed, a little bit more flexibility. Marvin Jones, though, I think if you want that typical complementary wide receiver to your number one guy, he comes right out of that mold. Sanu, you get maybe a little bit more versatility in how you can utilize him from that regard.
I know a lot more about Jones than I do Sanu. I've seen him play more, so I want to look at Sanu a little bit more before we get to free agency, which is really only 2 weeks away. I'm going to have to do a quick transition from combine to free agency, which is always tough.
The NFL offseason
for
you.
It's fast and furious. Yes. It never stops. But, I think, like Derek said, unlike in past years, there aren't a ton of corners and wide receivers as compared to past years in free agency. You think that's fair to say?
Yeah, in terms of a name guy, I mean, you do have Alshon Jeffrey, but who knows how much he's going to go for.
He might get franchised.
Correct. He may be franchised. After Alshon Jeffrey, I don't see another Alshon Jeffrey out there to answer that. No. And with respect to corners, too, I don't really see, you know, a number of top-notch corners out there.
That
That's
Pro Bowls and things like
that. Well, which means, you know, and this is just speculation on my part, that could help Prince's case, John, as a result of that. Because if you want a number one corner and Prince is in that ballpark, according to how teams evaluate him, you know, that may drive up his market where he's going to be able to cash in. Once again, very early to tell, but sometimes when you don't have a number of top corners, I think that could help maybe guys who may have been overlooked in conversations or may have been overlooked because of their injury history. I think either of those two Bengals wide receivers, though, would be a good fit for the Giants.
I think either one would be fine. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live was brought to you by DraftKings, a daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, hit the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. Me and Feagles tomorrow. Make sure you join us for Lance Meadow. I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll be at the Combine next week for three special two-hour shows from 12 to 2. Anita Marks and I, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Datino and Lance will hold it down here on Monday and Tuesday. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com.
Have a good one.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.